I might surprise you. So I just love how, I love this. This encourages me so much. These six brothers also went with me. Why? Well, he knew he was going to need witnesses. That's a good policy, by the way. If you think you're going to get in trouble, take some witnesses. Not Jehovah's Witnesses, some Spirit-filled witnesses. They went with me, and we entered the man's house. You can almost hear, He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. Hang on to that, folks, because once again, there are huge implications to this. This is a godly man in the religious sense of the word, Cornelius. Worshiping the right God, doing the right things, doesn't know the plan of salvation through Jesus. And God remedied that. Which means it needed to be remedied. If just being a good, sincere, religious person would have been enough without knowing about Jesus, God wouldn't have gone through this whole thing. So that tells me a lot. And it also tells me that God knows those people. They're out there. My thinking is this. I wonder this every day where I live in my liberal corner of this beautiful state. I wonder, who is it that's out there that knows part of the truth but doesn't know the whole truth? And the reason they don't know the whole truth is because no Christians will have anything to do with them. Who is there that's out there that the only Christians that they've ever talked to were ones that wanted to yell at them or argue with them? Who is it that's out there that God's looking for somebody who's just willing to be recalibrated, to see them the way he sees them? And I want to say, I'll go. I'll be that guy. But you're going to have to help me because I don't even know how prejudiced I am unless you show me. We just don't know. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all the truth, Jesus said. And I love watching it happen in the book of Acts. Verse 15, as I began to speak. Now, can I just stop right here because this just flashed through my mind today. Do you remember when Philip went to Samaria? They all got chased out of town. Philip was the only guy with guts to go to Samaria. He started preaching to the Samaritans. Lots of people got saved. And then the church at Jerusalem heard that Samaritans were getting saved, so they sent Peter and John down to lay hands on them for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I remember thinking, well, why did Peter and John have to be there for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And the answer was they didn't have to be there, but they thought they did. And so maybe that's why God did it this way. Can I just run this by you? Here's one of our church people, big blind spots. If God does something five times the same way, we start thinking that's the only way he does things. God might have 15 more ways on his list of, no, I do it this way sometimes, I do it this way sometimes, I do it this way sometimes, but he did it five times in a row, I saw it, so that's the way God works. Isn't that the way we are? That's a thing that has to constantly be changed. It's one of the reasons why Jesus healed people in so many different ways. What if he always spit on the ground, made a little mud, and put it on people? There would be some really nasty healing meetings, wouldn't there? He just did it different ways. We saw on Sunday that he touched the leper, but he didn't have to, because he winged a prayer about 9 miles through space and healed somebody without even being there. So why touch the leper? Well, the leper needed to be touched a lot worse than he needed to be healed. I find such tenderness in that. It makes me weep to this day when I read that story. There was no reason for Jesus to touch him in order to heal him. Except this was a guy that no one was allowed to touch him. And Jesus said, I'll touch you. I'll rub my hands all over you. I'm not scared of your leprosy. I'm not afraid of you. I don't think you're defiled. And it was against the law to do that. Pick up the CD from Sunday. The devil did a lot to try to stop it from being out there, so let's punch him in the nose, okay? As I began to speak, verse 15, the Holy Spirit came up on them just the same way he had come on us at the beginning. That's why when the Holy Spirit came on them in Caesarea, they spoke with other languages that they did not know. That's, to my way of thinking, the only reason why the Holy Spirit did it that way. Because that was the endorsement. Peter, he was forced, and all the guys from Joppa who were part of the 120 on the day of Pentecost, all those believers in that vicinity were forced to face something. Gentiles are no different than us. Because the very same thing that God did us, we didn't make it happen. We had no idea what was coming. And then, you know, the blessing bomb fell on us, and we heard ourselves speaking the praises of God in languages we didn't even know. And we knew it was God. And it was just like Joel had prophesied. And all these guys are thinking that, and now they watch it happen with a bunch of Gentiles, and they say, well, okay. Guess we were wrong about Gentiles. It was very convincing. But having said that, God doesn't have to touch other people the same way that he's touched you in order for it to be God. That's kind of a thing I got to keep my mitts off of. God's going to do what he's going to do in your life, and it'll be good. It'll be the perfect thing for you. Just like what he's done for me is the perfect thing for me. And I really have no right to say, you have to have the same thing happen to you that happened to me. I just want you to know the same God, that's all. What he chooses to do about it is it's going to be fun to watch. Then, verse 16, then I remembered what the Lord had said. Notice how many times in the Gospels we saw that? Then they remembered what Jesus said. It wasn't that Jesus hadn't said it, it's just he forgot. He didn't register. But see, this is one of those Holy Spirit leading you into all the truth things, isn't it? Have you ever remembered something at a real critical time and then you kicked yourself and you thought, well, I heard that years ago. Of course, that fits perfectly here. Where did that come from? Well, that was God reminding you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that I've told you. I lean heavily on that promise. He said, then I remember what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I, to think that I could oppose God? That is just so humble and so right and so just not like a lot of church people. God just doesn't have to do it my way. And I love the response. This is, as I have said before, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to go 5 more minutes because the kids have been going way after us, and we started late tonight anyway. When they heard this, that is, remember, this is the apostles. These are all the people that are harassing Peter. When they heard this, by the way, there were lots of them, many of them. When they heard this, they had no further objection, and they glorified God, the Greek says, saying, so then, you can almost hear this. I'm so tempted to read this with the Yiddish accent because it just sounds so Jewish, and I realize that's stereotyping and it's not fair. But, you know, I could just hear Woody Allen saying this. You know, so then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life, parenthetically followed by go figure. That was it. You think that was no paradigm shift, no big deal? You realize that You realize how many people's, hundreds of years worth of people's opinions had to be changed for them to see it that way? And I can't tell you the kind of hope that that gives me. Two comments I want to make on that, and we'll close. This shows you, number one, what having the right heart will set you up for, even if your facts are wrong. And you know what? To be fair, most of their facts were right. There was just that one little thing of the whole world is going to hell, and too bad because they can't be saved. But other than that, you know, their theology was pretty good. That was a big deal. And it took them a while to get it, but they did. That's what keeps me from giving up. Is I realize, okay, just lighten up, Bob. God can grow people up. And just keep telling the truth. If people have the right heart, God will change their facts, just like he's done for you, just like he's doing for you, Bob, every day. That's rabbit trail number one. Rabbit trail number two. This is just a pastoral warning. The natural response for anybody that's filled with God's Spirit, that truly loves God, when they see God changing and saving people, the natural response is to praise God. Beware of anybody who does not rejoice when they see certain groups of people coming to Jesus. And anybody that doesn't cease to object, beware, watch out for those people, because they will be a problem. Something is out of whack. Just because they have Bibles, just because they go to church, doesn't mean they're on the same page with God. Remember that some, and of course we're going to see it all through the book of Acts, there are people who hounded Paul every step of the way, tried to kill him, tried to thwart his ministry all over the world over one thing. He was preaching to Gentiles, and Gentiles were coming to God. So watch out for people that don't rejoice when they see those unreachable people getting saved. I mean, it's one thing to be suspicious. I think that's kind of, if you were raised in a certain kind of a place, it's just natural to squint your eyes and go, I don't know. Not totally sure whether this is of the Lord. But you know what? If you have the right heart towards God, he will win. He'll win that argument. And rejoicing will happen, just like it did with these people. And I've seen it a lot, but one of the first examples that comes to my mind is the man who took over the church for my grandfather when my grandfather died of a heart attack at 56. Quite a large church. It was quite a plum in that denomination, one of the largest ones in the whole state. And the man who took over was a guy who had gotten saved out of a life of alcoholism. He'd gone through AA, and in those days, in AA, you could talk about Jesus. And he came to know Jesus, the real Jesus. And he went to Bible college, and he was ordained, and well, anyway, he took over the church. But he was one of those guys that had a real heart for two kinds of people, alcoholics and divorced people. And this particular denomination, those people were the scourge of the earth. And so every time he would bring one of those people to Jesus, he would get in trouble. He was ultimately fired from that church. And here was the reason the board gave him. There are too many of those kind of people that are starting to come to our church. And I think, well, my grandfather, it would have broken his heart. Of course, he had trouble in that church as well. But so be careful. Let's guard our own hearts. See, here's the thing, and I was going to say this in the beginning, and I'll say it now. God doesn't always give us the whole story. If there's any pattern in the book of Acts that you can see, is God told people just enough information to get them to obey the next step. If he'd have told them the whole story, they would have never made it to step three or four. They would say, I'm sorry, I don't go there. So we just gave them enough information. They were simple-hearted people who wanted to be used by the Lord. He didn't tell them the whole story. Didn't tell Philip the whole story. Didn't tell Ananias the whole story. Didn't tell Saul of Tarsus the whole story in the beginning. Just step by step by step, like we sang. And you know what? We're going to be okay if we follow him. If we're willing to be changed. If we're willing to let him tell us what are the appropriate religious boundaries. Okay? Let's pray. I love this, Lord. I love it. It is humiliating to have to admit. You and I both know the things you had to change in my thinking to make me even on the same page with you about many things. But the wonderful and encouraging and inspiring and hope-filling thing is that you did. You did bring us along, Lord. You are leading us into all the truth. You are changing the way we think. And please don't stop, Lord. I know probably I have prejudices right now, and I don't even know their prejudices. I don't even know their filters. I revert to them because I always have. I ask humbly, Lord, that you would lead me as you promised into all of the truth. I pray, Lord, for us that we would have hearts that are teachable. I love that we get to watch Peter make his mistakes and learn and see what you did with his life. We get to watch it unfold. And you just look greater and greater and more wonderful. And I trust you more. And it takes a lot more load off my shoulders. I don't have to change anybody. That's your job. So Lord, make us available, make us flexible. Recalibrate us if necessary. We rejoice, Lord, that you are saving people that the old people that we used to be would have thought were totally out of reach. We would have thought you didn't care because we didn't care. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, in these closing days of planet Earth, I pray that we would be Jesus waiting to happen every place we go, that we would see with your eyes and love with your heart. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. Even when we don't connect the dots in all the right places and don't have all our facts straight, you are so wonderful and we love you. Amen.
Thanks for coming.